Okay.
So we've been dealing with this Gemara over here on Chavbeis and Mevayis, but the Gemara quotes the Braisa again that has to do with Rabbi Yochanan Shlach. It just touches on so many areas of Halacha that we can't leave it out without mentioning them. So the Braisa says over here, the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlachish, about a person who lights a fire and goes out and causes damage, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is considered to be your action. According to Rabbi Shlachish, it's your money, and therefore you're liable for the damage that it caused, but it's not considered to be your action. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Malagas HaGodesh, a person lights a Gedish on fire, and there's a Gedi Kofoslav, the Eved Salmachlok. There's a Gedi that's next to the Gedish, and Eved that's next to the Gedish. And this, if you have Chayv, then you have to pay for the Gedi and the Gedish. But if Eved Kofoslav, there's an Eved that's tied up, a Gedi Salmachlok, and Gedi that's next to the Nisrafimo Potter. So the Gemara says again, Bishlam, Alaman, Dama, Yishim, Yishim, Chitzav. It makes sense according to the one who holds Yishim, Yishim, Chitzav. Yishim, Yishim, Potter. Rashi explains, because of Kim Lebi, the Rav Minei. You chayv misa for lighting the Gedish on fire that went and burned down and killed the Yeved. So that's a chiyuv misa. At the same moment, you chayv chiyuv mamon for the Gedi and the Gedish. But of course, as the pasuk says, with regards to the person who strikes a pregnant woman, if she dies, a mason yihyeh, then you don't have to pay for the dmei vlados. You don't have to pay for the value of the children that she lost in the miscarriage. Because whenever you chayv a chiyuv misa, chiyuv mamon at the same time, the chiyuv misa eclipses the chiyuv mamon. Kim lei b'derab minei. So to be here, you kill the Yeved. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that when a person harnesses a natural force to go out and cause damage, that's considered to be your action. So you're a murderer. Chayv Misa, and therefore you can't be Chayv Mamon at the same time. But according to Reish Lakish, my partner, why do we apply Kim Levi? The Ramine and the Gemara is forced to say it's you actually lit the Eved on fire himself. You didn't light a fire over here in point A and went and traveled to point B and caused damage. That would be your property. It wouldn't make you a murderer. It would make your property cause damage, but you wouldn't be a murderer. It wouldn't be considered your action. Here you actually lit the Eved on fire. Okay, we had this brass a few times. So the Rashba, though, asks an important question over here, which leads us down into an important discussion, which touches on two very important areas of Halacha. So over here, the Rashba asks the following question. Ay Salaf, Eved Kofuslav, Gdisa Mukhlo. Like Rav Harishonim interpret this Gemara, that we're talking about Kimwe B'derab Minei. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if a fire goes out and causes damage, it's considered to be your action. If you light a Gedish on fire and it burns down an Eved who's tied up, you're a murderer. You're not chayv for the Gedish and the Gedi. Kimwe B'derab Minei. However, there's a basic rule in Kimwe B'derab Minei, which I think we alluded to, and that is you have to, the two obligations have to emerge, have to be triggered at the same moment. If, let's say, a guy violates Shabbos on Saturday, and then he smashes his car into someone else's house on Sunday, no one's going to say, well, you were chayiv for violating Shabbos on Saturday, so you're potter from any monetary damages that come about later on Sunday. No, it has to be that they occur, they're triggered at the same moment. So kashali, says Rashba, here it's not happening at the same time. When is a person chayiv for nezikin? When he lights the Gedish on fire. When does he become chayiv as a murderer? Even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the fire is your action. When do you become a murderer? Not till later on. When it actually kills the Eved. Then you're a murderer. Not when you lit it on fire, right? A guy lights the Gedish over here on fire. Then, we're not talking about we actually lit the Eved. That's what the Gemara says. Okay, then it's no different than plunging a knife into him. Of course you're a murderer. Even according to Reish Lakish, you're a murderer, that a fire that travels from point A to point B is just your property and not your action. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's your action. Even when the fire travels from point A to point B and kills somebody at point B, you're a murderer. It's considered to be like a person who shot an arrow or shot a bullet from point A to point B. It's considered to be your action. Fine. But what did you light at point A? You lit the Gedish. The Gedish went and started a fire and ended up burning down an Eved Kofoslav. So you're a murderer. So you're potter from paying for the Gedish earlier on. But what? That's like a guy who breaks, who drives his car into somebody's house on Friday and then continues to drive into Shabbos. Okay, so you violate the Shabbos later on, but you were chayv money initially before the chiyuv misa ever came about. The chiyuv misa doesn't apply until it gets to point B where the Eved is tied up. So Frank Rashba, kashali, amai potem amischayv begedish koidem sheyischayv benafsho al Eved. You're chayv for the Gedish before you're chayv for the Eved. That's no different. Kedamina begoinev kis shal chaveru b'shabbos shekfar nischai begneva kodem shiyavu with a yisur shabbos. What's the yisur shabbos we're talking about? You carry it in a rishus harabim. So I walk into your house, I steal your money. What am I chayv for stealing? The minute I take your money, then I take it out into rishus harabim and I carry through Times Square. Okay, that's a chiyuv misa, but at the same time, the chiyuv mamon didn't come at the same time as the chiyuv misa. Chiyuv mamon came earlier when I saw the item, and we don't apply chiyuv maybe the ramine in that setting. That's the kasha that the Rashba is. So the Rashba has his own answer, which we'll get to. But in the Chidushim of the Talmud HaRashba, oh, I should say V'Harosh, my mistake. In the Chidushim of the Talmud, of the Rashba and the Rosh, he gives the following answer. He says, Bish Lama Laman Diyamar Mishum Chitzav. He's reading into the Gemara. What does the Gemara mean to say, Bish Lama, according to the one who says Chitzav, it's your actions. We apply Kim Levi the Ramine. How can we apply Kim Levi the Ramine? The Chiyuv Mamon came before the Chiyuv Misa. Part of Afilu Nisuf HaGedish Koidim Shehagia L'Gufo Shel Eved. Even though the pile of grain burned down before it ever got to the Eved in the Chiyuv Misa, Potter, you still apply Kimwei B'Dirabine. Dehavalei Kezoyrei Chetz V'Kara Shirayin Balichasa Kodim Shehemis. This is similar to the case which, of course, we all know, which is a person who shoots an arrow, which is on its way to killing somebody, but it tears through laundry that's hung out on the way. Right? A guy shoots through somebody's laundry line and it tears through the laundry, but then it goes and it kills somebody. Do you have to pay for the torn laundry on its way to kill somebody with the arrow tears through the laundry and the guy's is bedding, his sheets, his linens, whatever? Do you have to pay for it? No, you don't have to pay for it. Ah, the Chiyuv Mamon came before the Chiyuv Misa. Here, it's all one action. Whenever we're dealing with one action, even though the Chiyuvim came, the monetary obligation and the capital obligation for killing somebody came at two different times, since it's all bound together by one action, we can still apply Kimwei B'Dirabine. That's not the same as a person who steals on Shabbos and then goes and carries the item in Times Square. That's two separate actions. Number one, I stole. Then I carry the item into Times Square. Here, it's the very same action. The arrow is traveling, hits through the laundry, and then goes on to kill somebody. You don't have to pay for the laundry that got damaged in the interim. So over here, you lit one fire. You lit the Gedish on fire. That Gedish went and ultimately burned down, and killed the property was in its way and burned down the Eved as well, killed the Eved. But since it was all contained, it's all bound together by one action, we can still apply Kimwei B'Dirabine. What case is he referring to? It's this case over here that's brought in the Gemara Masechtas Ksubas. The Gemara quotes over here in Masechtas Ksubas the well-known statement of Rabbi Yovin. Da Amar Rabbi Yovin, Hazorek Chet Mitchilas Arba L'Soif Arba. Here it's not talking about capital situation. It's talking about a person who's violating Shabbos by shooting an arrow in the Rishus HaRabim. So a person takes an arrow, shoots it in the Rishus HaRabim for Amos. So that's no different than a person who throws something in the Rishus HaRabim for Amos. You're also, that's a Malach HaMidei on Shabbos. Not only you chayv if you transfer Rishuyos, so you take something from Rishus HaYochan and bring it to Rishus HaRabim or vice versa, even if I travel for Amos within the Rishus HaRabim, you also chayv Misa. In order to be chayv for otzah, though, if you ever learn through, many people at least started Mishnayos and Masechta Shabbos. I don't know if you got all the way to the end, but you certainly covered the principle. In order to be chayv for otzah and Shabbos, you need what's known as an akira and a hanocha. You have to pick it up in one rishus and put it down in the other rishus, or pick it up in the rishus harabim, walk for amos and put it down. If you never stopped, you never put it down, there's no chiyuv for otzah. Still asked me to rabbanah, but there's no chiyuv for otzah. So that's like that's why it's important. I say a person is in a place where there's no eruv, and he forgets that he has a tissue in his pocket as he's walking to shul. He's used to, he grew up in a place where there is an eruv. He never was in yeshiva there used to be no eruv because of Aaron Salvechik. We don't let them build an eruv across Amsterdam Avenue. He held Amsterdam Avenue, which was Haram de Raisa, and he couldn't build an eruv across Amsterdam Avenue. So it used to be that if you lived in Morgenstern, you couldn't carry your key. In those days, there was only one base medrash where they davened on Shabbos. In those days, there was only one minyan on Shabbos. So you had to, if you wanted to come daven, other than the Sephardi minyan in Morg, but you had to come, you couldn't carry your key to the base medrash. So you had to leave it in your mailbox. That's what everybody did. They left the key in the mailbox. And then if you lived in Mass, you also had to leave your key in the mailbox to go eat lunch in the cafeteria. You couldn't carry across Amsterdam Avenue. So people, it was like, as I said, it was a bahala. Because nobody ever came from a community that had no Erev, you know, unless you were from the other side of the Heights, which in those days also had no Erev. Or I guess, you know, from certain parts of Manhattan, maybe they had no Erev. But otherwise, it was like unheard of. It was always, all the time, people were violating Shabbos constantly because no one knew. No one ever grew up in a place where there was no Erev. So they didn't know how to negotiate the situation. But anyway, let's say by accident, the person in the place where there's no Erev, he's not used to it. And he ends up with a tissue in his pocket or key in his pocket. He's on the Shabbaton somewhere doing Kiruv. And in the community, there's no Erev. So what do you do when you realize this? So the best eitzah, the most practical eitzah, I don't know if it's the best eitzah, but it's the most practical eitzah, is just keep walking. And don't stop in the Rishus HaRabim or the Kamut. Keep going until you get to Shul. Because as long as you keep going, you never stop. You had an Akira in the house where you walked out of when you took the tissue in your pocket. But you never stopped outside of the house until you got to the Shul, which is another Rishus HaYachid. So, and as long as you don't have a Hanukkah, even though you had an Akira, can't be chayv in Hocha Shabbos, not at least midairaisa. So you should continue walking. You're not supposed to do that lechachila. It's also midarabanan to do that. But if you did that, it would be all right. Yeah.
Stopping counts as a Hanukkah?
Yes. Good question. Why? But we're not wearing Masech Shabbos now. Yeah. We assume you are where your feet are, so it's as if you put it down on the ground. Yeah, that's considered to be anacha. Okay, so Akira, but what happened over here? A guy shot an arrow, and instead of going and killing somebody, he shot an arrow, let's say, from one Rishus, or from, you know, point A in the Rishus HaRabim, until point B in the Rishus HaRabim, 4 hours away. So he had an Akira in the Rishus HaRabim, a Hanukkah in the Rishus HaRabim. Not only if you transfer Rishus, you have some Rishus HaYach to Rishus HaRabim, even if you travel 4 amos within the Rishus HaRabim. As long as you picked it up in one place, put it down in the other place, you'd be chayv for violating Shabbos. So the guy did that, fine. He incurred a chiyuv of skila. But it tears through laundry along the way. Do you have to pay for the laundry? Same situation. So Gemara says, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yavin, that you do not have to pay. Potter, Sha'akira Tzarech Hanochahi. Why did you uproot it from one place, pick it up from one place, in order to put it down somewhere else? What does he mean by that? Obviously, he seems to imply it because it's one action. Since it's one action, even though the Chiyuv Mamon came about before the Chiyuv Misa, when does the Chiyuv Misa actually, you know, triggered? When does it actually begin to accrue? When it lands. You had an Akira over here, you had a Nacha over here, then your Chayiv Misa. Ah, but it tore through the garments on its way there, which is really before the Chiyuv Misa is triggered. Nonetheless, we apply Kimwei B'derav Mine. Seems to be because it's one action. So the Gemara actually offers two explanations for this. Hachihasha, why do we apply Kimwei B'derav Mine? So the Gemara says two explanations of this principle, Akira Tzarech Hanacha. One is, Hasam I'evsha LaHanacha below Akira. One is because you can't have the conclusion of the action without the beginning of the action. You can't have a Hanukkah unless you first pick it up, meaning it's one action. Then the Gemara says something else. Inam inami iboila dura lo matzi mahadala. If you wanted to stop it in the middle after you did an Akira before the Hanukkah, you couldn't stop it in the middle. That seems to imply something else. Not so much that it's one action, but that one is necessary for the other. Hanukkah below Akira, Yefshu Hanukkah below Akira seems to say, well, they're really all the same action because you can't have the beginning of the action, the end of the action without the beginning. The other explanation Gemara has is, Ibayu Gaduro Matsi Mahadala. If you wanted to stop it in the middle, you couldn't stop it in the middle. Sounds like even if it would be one action, but you could stop it in the middle, so that wouldn't be good enough to apply Kimwei B'derav Mine. Anyway, Kitzamai, so the Gemara seems to imply that when you have one action, we apply Kimwei B'derav Mine, even though the two Chiyuvim are triggered at different points in time. So Sotu over here says the Talmud of the Rajba and the Rosh, that's what's going on in our Gemara too. A guy lit a fire in point A. It went, and at that moment he lit a fire, he lit a Kiddush on fire. Went, you know, started to burn down the wheat in the pile of grain. So he became Chayv and Mamon. Later on, the fire traveled from point A to point B, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's considered to be your action. Ishim Ishim Chitzav, and now it kills an evident. Point B, yeah, but the Chiyuv Mammon happened before the Chiyuv Misa. How can we apply Kimmoy B'Dirabine? The Gemara says it makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. We apply Kimmoy B'Dirabine, Chiyuv Misa, Chiyuv Mammon, all at the same time. It's not true. The Chiyuv Mammon came before the Chiyuv Misa. No, so says the Talmud Rashi and the Rosh. No, because it all is contained within one action. No different than a person who shoots an arrow that tears Kara Shirayim Balichaso, that we say you're Potter, because it's all considered to be one action here too. If you put it, it's all considered to be one action. All right. Sound pretty glut. Problem is a Gemara later on. Never turned off Ayin Mabez. Sounds like a good answer. There's a Gemara later on that Ayin Mabez tells us the following. As we know, if a person steals something on whenever, if it's in the middle of the night, it's the Gneva, not Gzela, so he's obligated to pay not only Karen, not only is he obligated to pay back the principal, but Kefu as well, penalty of double. If he steals a Shor or a Seh, and he sells it, so then not only is he obligated to pay, based on Psukim of Parshas Mishpatim, not only is he obligated to pay back Karen and Kefu, he's obligated to pay back not double, but Dalet Vehei, four or five times the amount of the value of the animal. Dawud Bey, what's known as Dawud Bey. In order to do that, in order to incur that penalty, you have to steal it, and then you have to sell it. Fine. Then you chayv Dawud Bey. What if a person steals it on Shabbos and sells it on Shabbos? You chayv Dawud Bey. See, Gemara says, Mishnah, look back at the Mishnah, Ayinam at Aleph. The Mishnah says, Ganav, right in the middle, three lines down in the Mishnah, Ayinam et Aleph, Ganav u'machar b'Shabbos. Ganav u'machar l'avadizar, Ganav u'tavach b'yom ha-kippurim. Ganav mishalav, okay. Then, mishalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Yechayiv da'od v'hei. You have to tavach u'machar, you shechted it and then you sold it. Or you stole it and you sold it. Chayv da'ar vehei. So if you steal and sell it on Shabbos, you're chayv da'ar vehei. So Gemara quotes over here, Ayinim Beis, the two dots. Ganav u'machar b'Shabbos, you're chayv da'ar vehei. Gemara says, but that's what the Mishnah says. But the Braisa says, Potter, v'atanya Potter. So we have another Braisa says, Potter. How can it be Potter? Ganav u'machar b'Shabbos, why are you Potter? So if you look down in the Gemara first suggests one possibility, and then the Gemara rejects it. But then the Gemara says, "Al Amar of Papa, when are you gonna vumachar b'Shabbos at your potter?" But Amar lo, where a guy says to his friend, "Zrok nevo sechel lechatzeri, you stole it, and then, or by stealing it, you stole it, and then you threw it." Right, in the Rosh HaRabim, or from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaRabim, from Rosh HaRabim to Rosh HaYachid, into the domain of somebody else. So you violated Shabbos. V'tikni li gnevo secha, and then I will acquire the gneva. So he violated Shabbos when he was selling it. So we say, kimle b'derabimine. You can't be chayiv, da'ar v'hei, but the Mishnah says chayiv. Okay, because in theory, if you steal it and sell it on Shabbos, you can be chayiv. The Braisa says potter. When is ever an instance where Ganav u'machar b'Shabbos you'd be potter? The answer is, or I violated Shabbos at the time of the Mechira. How do you violate Shabbos at the time of the Mechira? Mechira is asmid rabbanon, not Shabbos. Mekach u'memkar is only asmid rabbanon. You know, you might come to write it down. That's why you're not able to do business on Shabbos. You might come to write it down and keep a cheshbon. But you know, there's no chiyuv skila on Shabbos for buying and selling something. No, the answer is you transferred ownership from, you transferred domains. You were over in the Easter of Haitzah. So we're going to say, and then it will acquire the gneva. So if you were violated Shabbos at the time of the Mechira, we're going to say, Padre Kim Weber de Rabine. Kiman, who is this following? Rabbi Akiva. What is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Damar Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamia. This is a complicated opinion, but it's not so complicated opinion. But Rabbi Akiva's opinion is when you throw something in the air, that's as if it's traveling on the ground. So even, let's say I throw something from the windows in this building don't open because they're afraid people are going to jump out, like a hospital. That's why the windows don't open in hospitals. They're afraid that you're going to be so upset that you're in the hospital that you jump out and commit suicide. That's anus. You can look into it. So to over here, I always like to say, that's why the windows in this building, none of them open. You never know how boring the Bible could get. So anyway, so let's say the windows did open in first hall they used to open, but then even then only like down. I don't know. Fine. Let's say the windows would open, and I would throw it out of the window into someone else's rishus. So Rabbi Kiva holds the minute that it leaves the this rishus and enters into the other rishus, even though it's still in the air, it's as if you already had a hanacha immediately. Even though it's still in the air, kluta kamisha hun chadamia. Even though it's flying, it's as if it's munach agabi akarko. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva holds the minute I throw it out of my window and it enters into your rishus, or the minute I'm standing rishus harabim, the minute I throw it and it enters into your rishus, you're kone it. Avi rishus is kone. The minute it enters the airspace of your property, you're kone. And I violated Shabbos at that time, even though it's still traveling in the air. And I haven't yet had a hanacha, hasn't yet rested on the ground. In order to be chayav for otsa, again, you need an akira. And a hanacha, kluta kamisha hun chadamia. So the minute I threw it out of the rishus harabim and enters into your rishus, you're chayav, and you take ownership of it right away at the same moment. Kimlei, bidurabi, now you can't be chayav dalav behei for stealing and selling. Because the minute that the sale is effectuated, at that moment, I became chayv in v'skila for the Easter of Hotza. So the chiyuv misa, the chiyuv mamon came in exactly the same moment. Kim lei b'derab minei. The ikar rabbanan, if you're going to go like the rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Kiva, they say, what are you talking about? Kluta kamisha unkadami. When it rests on the ground, it be chayv for Shabbos. When is the person kona the item? The minute it enters into his airspace. So let's say the ganef is standing outside. He throws it into my rishus, yeah, on Shabbos. And he says, will you take ownership of it and I'll pay him for that which he gave me, the gneva. So I say, I'll pay him when it reaches my rishus, fine. So the minute it enters my rishus, I take ownership of it. Now he's chayv and dalav vehei. When these become chayv for Shabbos, only when it lands in my rishus. Not kluta kamishon chadam, it's still in the air, it's as if it's munach on the ground. No, there's no such thing. Yes, I am koneh when it enters my airspace, because my airspace is part of my property, but it is not over on the Isur of Hotza. It's not Vayu Hotza until it actually rests in the ground. So according to the Rabbanan, the two chiyum will not come at the same time. The Ikar Rabbanan came in the Matu Chotzer Beisot Kona. The minute it enters the airspace of your Rishut, your Kona, and in Shabbos or Mechayiv Adamati La'aro, until it actually reaches the ground. So according to the Rabbanan, this wouldn't work. It only works according to Bekiva, the Kuta Kamisha Hun Chadami, when it enters the airspace of your Rishus, your Kona, and your Chai Feruch HaShabbos at the same time. According to the Rabbanan, they don't come at the same moment. Your Kona, the item, earlier. Then the Chiyuv Shabbos comes later when it actually lands. So we would not apply Kim Levi Deramine. What's the problem with this whole Gemara, though, Chevron? What's the problem? How many actions are we talking about here? What two actions? One action. What's one action? The Mechira, yeah, takes place when it enters into my Rishus. When does the Chiyuv of Shabbos happen? When it enters into my Rishus. It's the same action of throwing into my Rishus. It happens. The two Chiyuv are triggered at different points. The Chiyuv of Mechira of Dalet Vehei for the Ganef is triggered the minute it enters into my Rishus. When is the Chiyuv of Shabbos triggered? When it lands, according to the Rabbanan. See, where it says, then we wouldn't apply Kim Levi Derabine. We only will apply Kim Levi Derabine according to Bekiva. That klut the kamisha hun chadami when it's flying in, it's as if it's munach on the ground, and you're chayav for Shabbos immediately. So then the chiyuv misa, the chiyuv mamon come at exactly the same moment. But according to the Rabbanan, they don't come at the same moment. But 1 minute, ask Tosfos. But it's all the same action. How is that any different than a person who shoots an arrow from one point in the rishus harabim to another point in the rishus harabim, and it tears through garments on its way? The chiyuv mamon happens when it tears through the garments. The chiyuv misa doesn't happen until it ends. And nonetheless, we applied kim wev the ramine in that gemara sechdes ksubis. Right, that was the opinion of Rabbi Yovin. Hazari chayz mitchilas arba sof arba kar shiyam ali chasa yopoter akira tzarech hanocha, because it's all considered to be one action. So it's over here, it's all considered to be one action. When the guy throws it into my chotzer and I acquire ownership of it, chiyuv da'ar vehei, the chiyuv misa vilchus Shabbos of hotzah doesn't happen until it actually lands according to the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, we don't apply kim levi derabinei. The two happened at different times. Well, why don't we apply kim levi derabinei? What happened to akira tzarech hanocha? So look over there. Tosfos, Divrei Maskil, Inyan Shabbos or Mechayv Adenecha b'Chotzer. Shabbos in a Chotzer, so it actually lands. Frek Tosfos v'im Tomar. V'kevan she'kinyan ba bein akira l'anocha. Since the person acquires ownership of it, the kona acquires ownership of it from the ganef. In between the akira l'anocha, islam l'meimar kim lebe d'ramine. We should have said Kim Rabbi the Rabbi because I'm meaning Bereish Elu Nairus. Damar Rabbi Yovan Zara Chayz Mitchilas Dal Lusov Dal Nukarish Rabbi Koso Potter Akira Tachanach. It's all the same action. Can everybody hear the question? Anybody not hear the question? It's the exact same case, and here we're not applying Kim Rabbi the Rabbi. So Taisa, the last two lines, says, "Yeah, you're right. We could have really said that." He says, "V'nira l'ri, davi matzig u'shenuye da kira tzarech hanocha u'divrei hama, whatever." Taisa says, "We could have said that, but we didn't." But this is a problem for the Talmud of the Rashba and the Rosh, who says in our Gemara, where a guy lights a kiddush on fire, you come chayv for mamon at that moment. Later on, it goes point A to point B, the fire travels, and at point B, it kills the eved. So he says, well, the whole thing is one action. We're going to apply Kimwei B'derab Minei, because it's all one action, just like Akira Tzarech Hanocha. But this Akira Tzarech Hanocha business is not so clear. The Gemara Mesechtes Bava Kama, the Fayin Mabeis, doesn't want to apply it to a Ganav who throws it into my Rishus. The Chiyo Mamun comes first. The Chiyo Misa comes when it actually lands. The Gemara doesn't say Kimwei B'derab Minei, even though it's all the same action. So what's going on? How come the Gemara, Ayin Mabeis doesn't have this principle of one action, which incurs two chiyuvim, even though they happen at two different points in time, we're going to say Kimwei B'derami. So if you look at the Shita Mekubetzes in Masechtas Ksubis, he explains that this Gemara in Ayin Mabeis is the outlier. Generally, when you have two chiyuvim that come about as a result of the same action, even though the two chiyuvim happen, are incurred, are triggered at two different points in time, they're bound together by the same action, we're going to apply Kimwei B'derami. This Gemara in Bava Kama, Ayin Mabeis, is different. Why is it different? So you look over here in the Shita Mekubetzes, or Izdala, Shita Mekubetzes says, Kashali, Lahani Trey Taima, Hadi Garcina, Perak Meruba, Zro Gneva, Sechali Chatzeri. Person says, throw your Gneva into my Chatzer, and I will, pay you for it. And that will, make the Gan of Chayv and Dava Vehei. So if he violated Shabbos in doing so, we don't apply the rule of Kimwei B'derab Minei. Only according to Rabbi Kiva, the Kutik Mishahun Chadamia, that they happen at the same time. Kamai Rabbi Kiva, Damar Kutik Mishahun Chadamia. Dikrabanan, according to the Rabbanan, we would not apply Kimwei B'derab Minei. He would be Chayv Da'av Vehei. Dikrabanan, Kevin Dematel Avir, when it comes into the airspace of the Chatzar, he's Kone. Shabbos, he's not until it actually lands. Frank the Shidim Mekubetzes, Vakira Tzarech Hanachahi. What's the difference? So look over here at the end. He gives a few technical answers, which are interesting. He says one answer technical. Look over here in the third line. He says, Yeshlama hacha shadaito lizro kacheit at sof arba tiki husko iser shabbos ba'akira d'tzarech hanacha v'hasam ein daito azrikas ha'gneva l'karka chatzel ha'knoso gnevaso. There, in this case of the guy who's throwing it from one point in Rishus HaRam to the other point of Rishus HaRam and it tears laundry along the way, I want it to go from point A to point B. That's what I intend to do. So the Hanukkah is included in my original action of the Akira. That was what I intended to do when I shot it. Here, when I throw the Gneva to you, I don't care if it ever lands. I just want you to acquire it. That's all I want to accomplish here. If it never landed, that wouldn't bother me. So that's not part of my initial intention when I threw it. I just want you to acquire it. The minute it enters your airspace, you acquired it. So he says, this was your intention from the very beginning. I just want you to acquire it. We don't consider it to be a violation of Shabbos until it actually lands. All right, but then he gets the conceptual answer, the second to last line at the end of the line. Va'od, she'en k'nias halokeach, Misareves im chiyuvol shel mocher begneva zu. V'chiyuv tashlum in hazorek ad kniyas zehu. The two don't blend together into one action. See, when a guy shoots an arrow, right, and from point A to point B in Rosh Hashanah, and it tears through a garment along the way. So the two, what chiyuvim did he incur? One is the chiyuv mamon for tearing through your laundry. The other is the Chiyuv Shabbos for throwing the item from point A to point B in the Rishus HaRabim. Those two needed the same action in order to happen. They're not two independent parts of the sentence. They're both as a result of shooting the arrow from point A to point B. You couldn't have done, incurred these penalties or these obligations without shooting the arrow from point A to point B. However, over here, the Shita Merubetzer says the two actions, one which incur, you know, trigger the two penalties. One, the chiyuv of dalar v'hei by giving the guy, sending the guy the item and selling it to him, and the other, violating Shabbos by throwing it into his rishus, are really two separate things that happen to coincide in the same action, but they really don't blend together. They don't become part of the same action. Why? Because I don't need to violate Shabbos in order to become chayv and dalar v'hei. It's really, I guess, fleshing out more the technical answers Shita Merubetzer said originally. I don't need the item to land in order to become chayiv in dalar v'hei. The minute it enters your rishus, I'm already chayiv. And if it would have come into your rishus without me ever throwing it there, it would have dropped in by itself. I don't need to bring it into your rishus in order for me to become chayiv dalar v'hei. Meaning, let's say I didn't throw it in there. A drone, you know, not times we could talk about it like that. A drone, which I'm not even flying. I have an item over here. I say, I'm going to give it to you. And when you acquire ownership of it, you know, a sale will take place. I'm already chayv dalar v'hei, even if I didn't, not the one who sent it to you, right? I have a gnev over here. I'm going to have a delivery service that comes. I didn't touch the item at all. I had nothing to do with this item. It came in mela. Some delivery service came, picked it up, dropped it off by you. I would still become chayv dalar v'hei. You don't need my action to deposit it in your rishus to trigger a dalar v'hei. You don't need my action at all. Even if it would have happened by itself, I could incur a chiyuv of dalar v'hei. From the very fact that it ended up in your rishus and I sold it to you. So since you don't need my action at all, it's just coincidental that the way it would happen to have been that it transferred ownership was from my action of throwing it into your rishus, and through that action it happened to also become chayv in Hilchos Shabbos. So that's more coincidental when the two actions happen to coincide in what, you know, when the two chiyuvim happen to coincide in the same action, but it's only coincidental. It's only, it's not inherent. You don't need both actions in order to incur the same, but you know, the two penalties. So then we would not apply Kimmud Rabbanei. As opposed to a person, let's say, who tears garments and he throws it in the Rishus HaRam from point A to point B. In order for me to become Chayv Misa in Hilchos Shabbos, I have to be the one to throw it. In order for me to become Chayv in Nezikin, I have to be the one to throw the arrow through your laundry. So both Chiyuvim require my action and my participation. So then, since they're contained within the same action, so we say Kimwe V'Dirabani, the two blend together. We say Kimwe V'Dirabani, they both can't be incurred at the same time. Even though they occur at two different points in time, since they're linked together by the same action, we probably can maybe the Rabbinay, because they both inherently need my participation. Here, the Gneva selling it to you doesn't require my participation. That's just coincidental. It's incidental over here that's how it ended up in your rishus, but it's not inherently, you know, required that you have my participation here. So since it's just coincidental that they happen to coincide in the same action, we don't apply Kim the Ramine. I admit that it's somewhat of a splitting of hairs, but that's what you'll have to say as to why we don't apply Kim Web the Ramine by a person who sells an item to somebody else, sells a greva to somebody else by violating Shabbos. We don't apply Kim Web the Ramine, even though they're all contained within the same action, because one is incidental. You don't need me to throw it into your rishus in order to incur the chiyuv d'alvei. It could have even happened if it would have happened by itself. So look over here. Rav Shimon Shkop spells this out. It's the chidushim of Masechtas Ksubis. So he says like this: Imlo kara idei zrikas hachetz or kara shirayim biyadav. Let's say a person, not that he shoots an arrow through someone else's laundry, but I shoot an arrow. It travels in the middle of the air to point B in Rishus HaRabim. I'm chayv for Shabbos, and at the same time, I tear your laundry. It has nothing to do with the arrow. The two happened at the same time, but not through the same action. So he said, "Im lo kare de zrika sachet, so kare shirayim biyada vayde maizah bifnei atzmo, v'chor b'chai gavno lekatam l'mifter mishum kimwe b'dirabinei." There we would never apply kimwe b'dirabinei. The rebbe kimwe b'dirabinei ikish nei ofanim shemifter. There's two instances when we apply kimwe b'dirabinei. Aleph, only where they actually happen at the exact same moment. Here, Shabbos, you become chayv when the item lands. I tore your garments while the arrow was in the middle of the air. Why do we apply it when it's the arrow that tears through the garments? If it occurs, the two obligations are triggered by the same action. So either they happen at the exact same moment in time, or they're a result of one action. Can go. Everything happens through one action. Or like our case, I got rid of Gedish on fire. He became chai for the Gedish. The Yevet doesn't get killed until the end, but since it's through one action, they're linked together, we apply Kimah D'Rabbanan. But over here, if a person, let's say, tears a garment while the arrow is in the air, but it's not the arrow itself that tears through the garment, the chiyuv misa did not come exactly the same moment as chiyuv mamon. The chiyuv mamon comes when I tear through your garment. The chiyuv misa happens when the arrow lands. They didn't happen the same time. Until the atom lands. Also, they didn't occur through the same action. It wasn't the arrow that tore through the garments. I tore with my hands. We're not going to apply kimim d'rabbanan. Ufid varenu, he says, hinei inin haknah. So now he's getting back to our gemara over here on the dafayim abeis. We're not going to say kimim d'rabbanan. The inin haknah go have they azrika b'avimaisa b'fnei atzmo. The fact that the item transferred ownership through me throwing it into your rishus is only coincidental. You don't really need my action. If it would have happened by itself, that also would have been good enough. Since the two chiyuvim didn't come at the exact same moment in time, what happened? You were koneh when it entered into rishus. The chiyuv of Shabbos doesn't happen until it actually lands, according to the Rabbanan. So we don't apply kimay b'derabbanan. Even though here it was coincidental, it happened to be my action that got it into your rishus. Since he didn't need my participation, we're not going to apply kimay b'derabbanan. All right. This is all within the answer of the Talmud of the Rashba and the Rosh. Again, what was the main problem we started with? We started with the following problem. Back in Agamar. Yeah, let's regroup over here. The Gemara said, I got a Gedish on fire. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that the fire travels from point A to point B, that's my action. I got a Gedish on fire over here. When do I become Chayv and Mammon? Immediately. I burn down your Gedish. That fire then goes and kills an Eved who's tied up. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're a Rotzeach. And we say, Kim Wevi Derabi Minei. Chiyuv Misa. Chiyuv Mamon, but ask the Rashba, the Chiyuv Mamon happened way before the Chiyuv Misa. The Chiyuv Mamon happens when I lit the Gedish on fire. The Chiyuv Misa happens much later on when the Eved gets killed. So the Rashba and the Rosh said, the Talmud of the Rashba and the Rosh said, yeah, but that's all one action. Like a Kira Tzarech Hanach, a guy who shoots an arrow, it tears through garments along the way, even though you become Chayiv Shabbos in the end. Since it's all one action, in the Chiyuv Mamon happened before the Chiyuv Misa, but it's all bound together by one action. We're going to apply Kimah the Rabbi Nasi also to over here. You lit the Gedish on fire. It was that same action that went and later burned, killed the Eved. So even though the two Chiyuvim happened at two different points in time, we're going to say Kimah the Rabbi Nasi. The case of Naima Beis is different. That's why we don't apply Kimah the Rabbi Nasi, even though they're all contained within one action, because the Chiyuv Mamon didn't need the action. It was only coincidental. The Rashba was an entirely different answer. Look back at the Rashba, Oizalef, to this basic problem in our sugya. How do we apply Kimah b'derabbanan? The Chiyuv Mamon happened before the Chiyuv Misa. Chiyuv Mamon is when I light the Kedish on fire. Chiyuv Misa happens later on when the Eved gets killed, when it reaches point B. So even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that I'm a murderer, how can we apply Kimah b'derabbanan? The Chiyuv Mamon happens before the Chiyuv Misa. So the Rashba answers four lines from the bottom. The Efshu the Rabbi Yochanan Havalei Mishas hatzatzas ha'esh b'gedish roidev. V'nas al gedish k'roidev. Sheshiber kelim. Bein shel nirdof, bein shel kol adam shu pater. So the Chiyuv Misa begins when? Not when the Eved gets killed. When does the Chiyuv Misa begin? When you light the gedish on fire. Why does the Chiyuv Misa begin exactly when you light the gedish on fire? Because at that moment, you already set up a course of events, triggered a course of events that's going to lead to the death of the Eved later on. You now, the guy has a status as a roidev, he's already chayv misa, so we're going to say kim wevi derabbanan minei. Already at that moment, the chiyuv misa, the chiyuv mamon happened at the exact same moment in time. Chevi, you hear what happened? The guy with the gedish over here. The Eved burns down over here. We ask, the Chiyuv Mamon happens before the Chiyuv Misa. The Chiyuv Misa, we thought, happens when the Eved actually gets killed. The Rashba says, no. The Chiyuv Misa happens the minute you lit the Gedish on fire. Because at that moment, you're already a Roidev. You're already a Roidev. That's the answer of the Rashba. Have you heard the answer? There's two problems with this. Number one, Let's just, what's the case here? I go to Giddush on fire. The guy go to forest fire. There's a Eved Kafuslo. There's an Eved that's tied up. So do we have time? I hate asking what if questions, but do we have time to untie the Eved before the fire gets to him, or do we not have time? Right? Well, what are we standing over here saying? Can we leave the Ramine? We should go and save the Eved. What are we pilpling over here about, what is the obligations of the person who lit the fire? Can we untie the Eved? If yes, then this guy's not a Rodef. He set up a dangerous situation. He's not a nice guy, public menace, but he's not a Rodef. He's only a Rodef if he inevitably will kill the Eved. Right? So it must be, we have no time to save the Eved. Right? Can we all agree to that? A guy lit a fire. Cover, listen. A guy lit a fire over here, A. Point A. It goes and it burns down an Eved who's tied up in point B. So we're saying, why? Chai Mamon, the minute you lit the Kaddish. And says the Rashi, Chai Misa now, because you're right, Dave, to kill the Eved. Must be then, if you're ready to kill the Eved, we don't have time to untie the Eved. If we would have time to reach the Eved before the fire got to him and untie him, you're not a Rodef. You're not a nice guy. You're a public menace. Dangerous. But you're not a Rodef. You're only a Rodef if inevitably you're going to kill the other guy, right? Seems logical. But 1 minute. If that's the case, so when do you have a hetter to kill the Rodef? When do you have a hetter to kill the Rodef? Only if you're going to save the Nirdaf. Yeah, Rodef means the guy's running after trying to kill him. Hashkim lahargo, we should kill him before he kills somebody else. So, but over here, by killing this, the person who lit the fire, are we going to save the Eved? No. The minute that the fire is lit, you're not going to save the Eved. So, okay, he no longer has the status of a Rodef. So, mimanafshach, we can't kill the guy. He's not Chayiv Misa. You hear the problem? The problem is, if he lit the fire, and he already killed the Eved, right? Because the Eved has no chance of getting out alive. So then by killing him, are we going to save the Nirdaf? No. It's over. So then he no longer has the status of a Rodef. And if the guy can get out, and we will save him by killing this guy, you're not going to save him by killing the guy. How will you save him? By putting out the fire and going and untying him. So why are we going to kill the guy to save the Eved? Why would you bother killing the guy? Go save the Eved! So either way, killing this fellow who lit the fire's fire, however negligent and irresponsible he is not going to save the Eved. And it isn't the only time you have the right to kill the Rodef is when you're going to save the Nirdaf. So over here, by killing the guy who lit the fire, am I ever going to save the Eved? No, because Mimanavshach, if I can't save the Eved, go and save the Eved. What is killing the guy going to help you? And if you can't save the Eved, so then why bother killing the guy now anyway? The Eved is already a goner. We can't save him. So Mimanavshach, why should he have the status of a Rodef? This kasha is asked over here by the Sefer Nachas Yitzchak. Nachas Yitzchak was written by Reb Zadel Tiktiner. I don't expect you to know who he is. Reb Zadel Tiktiner was a Talmud of the Mir Yeshiva who ran away to Shanghai together with the Mir Yeshiva, but he was actually a Rav in Volozhin. Many people ended up traveling with the Mir Yeshiva through Russia to Shanghai, just because that was one of the... A lot of people were Russia running to Shanghai. He wasn't a Talmud of the Mir. He was a Rav already in Europe, in Volozhin. But he ran with them to Shanghai. Then, since he was an accomplished person already, he learned the Chavrus of Chaim Shmuel Levitz, but they sent him as a diplomat abroad to try and raise money to save the other Bachram in the Mir Yeshiva. So he ended up traveling to the UK in 1942 to try and get money to save the other Bachram who were in the Mir Yeshiva who were trapped in Shanghai. But in 1942, Pearl Harbor happened. So he was planning on traveling to the UK and then on to the US. He wasn't able to do that because then the US entered the war and they weren't taking boats anymore from abroad. So he couldn't get in. He was trapped in the UK. He ended up becoming a Rosh Yeshiva in the UK. But he died very young. He died in the 1950s. Anyway, but he was a great Talmid Chacham, wrote a sefer called Nachos Yitzchak. So in that sefer, he asked this question on the Rashba. When do you have the right to kill the Rodef to save the Nirdaf? The Ma'inyan Rodef Lakan. Hare din misa the Rodef, eino ela hatzolas ha-Nirdaf. When do you have the right to kill the Rodef if you're going to save the person he's running after? If you could kill him, you know, you could immobilize him by taking out his legs, you have no right to kill him. Here, either way, by killing the person who lit the fire, you're not going to save the Nirdaf. So how can we say the Chiyuv Misa, the Chiyuv Mamon happened in the exact same moment? That's how the Rambam get out of this problem. The Chiyuv Misa and Mamon happens when you lit the Kaddish on fire. The Chiyuv Misa happens when the Eved gets killed. The Rambam says, no, they all happen at the same time. Because you're a Rodef the minute you light the fire. Yeah, but you only have the right to kill the Rodef if you're going to save the Nirdaf. Over here, you're not going to save the Nirdaf. Either go save the Eved, and if you can't, he's certainly not a Rodef anymore. He says, V'hakarei Eber Yigos V'shal Malik Mishum Hatzalat HaNirdaf Umi Manavshah. Either way, im yachol mahadir as ha'eved ha'kofer, so if you can undo the eved, ha'vo ha'vi rodef klal. The guy lit the fire, he ran away. He's not a rodef anymore. Davi ki yachol ma'atziro, v'echem e'varv. Let's go and kill, you know, save the eved as much as we can. V'im ein yachol ma'atziro, if you can't undo the eved, ha'riyamus ha'eved. The eved's going to die no matter what. What sense is it then to kill the rodef? He's no longer a rodef. He already killed the guy. What's the point of killing the rodef? That's one or two problems with the Rambam. One problem with the Rambam. What's the other problem with the Rambam? He quotes over here from the Or Sameach. The other problem with the answer of the Rambam is like this. The Gemara says, we only have a, say, Kimwei B'Darabine. This makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan, right? The guy lit the fire over here. It goes and it kills an Eved over here. He burns down the Kiddush. He kills the Eved. The fire goes and kills the Eved. You're considered a murderer. We're going to say Kimwei B'Darabine. We keep asking, yeah, but the Chiyuv Mamon happens before the Chiyuv Misa, but at least there is a Chiyuv Misa to speak of, right? Because the Eish, the fire that goes and burns from point A to point B, is considered to be your action. Isha Mishum Chitza, we're going to apply Kimwei B'Darabine, even though they happen at two different points in time. That's what we're struggling with. What about according to Reish Lakish, though, Chevra? You had a fire over here. The fire goes and kills an Eved over here. The Gemara says, well, then for sure! There's no Kimwei B'Darabine. There's no Chiyuv Misa to speak of. So he asked Or Sameach, 1 minute. If we're talking about a Rodef, not because the Eish, I harness the natural force to do what I wanted, so it's considered to be an extension of my action. It's because I lit a fire that's going to ultimately kill the Eved. If you're a Rodef over here, according to Reish Lakish, shouldn't you be a Rodef too? Do I have to, you know, kill you directly in order to be a Rodef? What if I will cause you to die? You know, indirectly, aren't you a rodef still too? Yeah, aren't you a rodef if you're going to kill the guy b'derech grumah also? So that's what he calls over here. Look at the arsamech, arsamech tama ode. My machshim ad reish lakish. What's the kasha reish lakish? Why aren't you chayv to pay the money? There's no, you know, you're not a murderer if the fire goes and burns from point A to point B. Nihidulom machayv al zamisa. True, you're not a murderer because your fire went from point A to point B and killed somebody. You're not chayv misa, k'mo she'enu chayv al ma'isa shoro. Just like you're not chayv misa if your animal kills somebody. Let's say I sick my snake at you. And my snake is going to come, right? I have a poisonous snake as a pet. One of those, that guy, right? And I sick my snake on you. So I'm not a murderer, right? My snake is my property. If it kills you, I'm negligent as an owner. I have to pay damages, but I'm not a murderer. Unless I inject you with venom or something, right? I'm not a murderer. But am I a rodef? Probably, yeah. We would like to think so. So, makes sense that you would be. So he says, why even according to Reish Lakish that it's Eish Mishim Mamono? You should be, say, Kimwei B'Darabine, you're a rodef. Avamidim rodef, Chayav Miso, Kuli Yama, Shiatzi Luhu B'Navsho. You seem to be a rodef, so this whole Rajba makes no sense. What's going on over here? So Bzeidel Tektina says from here, a big Chiddush, which is already actually found in the Brisker Rav. He says like this. He says, by rodef, there's two halachas. Must be by rodef, there's two halachas. Derived from the same pasuk of Habav and Machperos, a person comes into my house in the middle of the night. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says in Parashat Mishpatim, Ein lo damim, I can kill him before he kills me. Hashkim lahargo, Habav lahargecha, Hashkim lahargo. Guy comes to kill me, I can kill him. But that contained within that is really two halachas. Number one, I have to immobilize the threat. Hatzolas hanirdaf. And there we say, you know what? If you could have minimized. If you can no longer save the nirdaf, there's no longer a heter to kill him. But we must say that when a person becomes a rodef, there is also a chiyuv misa too. And it's that chiyuv misa as your rotseach, or potential rotseach. It's that chiyuv misa, attempted murder, for being attempted murder, that enables us to apply Kimwei B'Darabine. Hatzalas hanirdaf, has nothing to do with Kimwe B'Rabbi. Now, Tzolos HaNirdof is a triage situation. We have to do what we can in order to save the Nirdof. We're not the judge and jury, but we see one person running after somebody else to kill him. We have to immobilize you. There's no Kimwe B'Rabbi for that. That's not a Chiyuv Misa. We say Chiyuv Misa, Chiyuv Mamon at the same time, we're going to say Kimwe B'Rabbi. So therefore, according to Reish Lakish, even though the guy who lights the fire is a Rodev, we're not going to say Kimwe, even though he's not killing him directly, we're not going to say Kimwe B'Derabimine, that he doesn't have to pay for the Gedish that he's burning down now. Because that he's only, you're not a murderer, so we're only going to say, we have to save the Nirdof. Do what we can, but that doesn't trigger an obligation of Kimwe B'Derabimine, and the minute that the guy lights the fire, there's no longer a purpose in killing him, because we're not going to save the Yevid by killing him. So there's no Hatzolas HaNirdof, if we're only analyzing it from that perspective, Hatzolas HaNirdof will not enable us to apply Kimwe B'Derabimine because killing you won't save him. The Evans are goner anyway. But then there's a second halacha of a Rodef that doesn't apply to a person who's only being Rodef after, you know, indirectly. It only applies to a person who's being Rodef directly, and that is that there's a Chiyuv Misa, like any other Misa based in. And that's what enables us to apply Kimwe B'Derabimine, and that continues to apply even after we can no longer save the Nirdaf. So this guy who lit the, that's what the Chiddush of the Rashba is, this guy who lights the fire over here, and it goes and it kills the Yevet over here. So therefore, says the Rashba, how can we apply Kimwe B'Derabimine? The Chiyuv Mamon happens here. The Chiyuv Misa happens when the Yevet gets killed. Says the Rashba, no, you're a Rodef here. And even though we can no longer save the Nirdof, there's a second halacha by Rodev that if you're running after him to kill him directly, there's a Chiyuv Misa that applies like any other Misa is based in. And even though we can no longer save the Nirdof, we're going to apply Kimwe B'Derabimine. Let's read it inside. Says the Zeidu HaTaktina, Yesh Be'emes Din Chiyuv Misa Shechal HaRodev, two lines from the bottom, Shebesha Zushu Rodev Mischayev Misa L'chol Adam L'chol Adam Mitzuvim L'hargo. There is a chiyuv misa like any other misa based in. V'hashem uvuaron shaper divrei Rashba. Now we can understand the Rashba. The mamadlik ha-gedish ha-virodev v'yeshalav din misa. When a person lights the gedish on fire, you're a rodev and there's a din misa. Even though we can no longer save the nirdof, sha'af al-pi she'en b'misas ha-mishum ha-tzol ha-nirdof. We can't save the yevet. Killing the guy who lit the forest fire is not going to help us anymore. Nonetheless, since you did it in order to kill the yevet, you're a rodev and you have a chiyuv misa like any other chiyuv misa. We can apply Kimwe B'Derabimine. We're not going to save the Eved. The Eved either way is going to die. But getting back to Reish Lakish, now we understand the Gemara according to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, you're not trying to kill the guy directly, it's indirect. It's like a guy who takes his poisonous snake and puts it in someone else's bed. You're a Rodef, but you're a Rodef b'derech grama. You don't get then, you only have one aspect of being a Rodef. We're going to have to mobilize you and prevent you from killing somebody. Hatzolas HaNirdof, but you don't get the Chiyuv Misa of being a Rodef. Uvazev vade Rodef ha'idei grama, ein alav Chiyuv Misa. There's no Chiyuv Misa. The law Adif may wrote Seach Shehim is Begrama. It's no different than a person who actually killed somebody with their Grama, that you're not Chayiv Misa. Ivra Yos and Yiradaf, Fili Havi Hacha Hatzolah. Okay, but there is Hatzolah and Yiradaf. That would continue to apply, but there's no Kimle B'Derabine. There's no Chiyuv Misa that applies even after we can no longer stop the Nirdof. Okay? So what did he say for the Rashba? Again, the Rashba said, the Chiyuv Mamon happens before the Chiyuv Misa. So the Rashba said, no, you're a Rodef right away. We said, what kind of Rodef are you? You're not going to save the Nirdof by killing the guy with the forest fire. The answer is there's two parts of a Rodef. One is Hatzolas HaNirdof. The other is a Chiyuv Misa that applies to the Rodef. But that's only a Rodef who's actually running after somebody to kill him directly. If it's a Rodef b'derech grama, certainly we have to immobilize you and you'd be a Rodef vis-a-vis Hatzolas HaNirdof. But there's no Chiyuv Misa that applies to you. Let's say a person is running after the Jewish people to kill us, right? But he's doing so b'derech grama, in indirect fashion. No, running after us to kill us directly, but he's trying to manipulate situations that will be bad for the Jews. So that's why sometimes people throw around phrases like that. It could be a rodef. He's not a rodef in the classical sense, a person who's directly trying to kill somebody, but he's attempting to harm the Jewish people. So it could be a rodef b'derech grama too. And that could warrant a hatzolas hanirdof. We have to do that which we can in order to save the Jewish people, but that wouldn't be the classical Rodev, who would not only have Hatzolos and Irdaf, he'd also have a Chiyuv Misa. I say that this is found in the Brisker Rav, because look over here, the Rambam says the following. Last thing over here. The Rambam says, Perek Aleph Hilchos Ratzeach Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says, let's say a person could immobilize the Rodeif, but he doesn't. He's a little bit more aggressive, and he kills him. So says the Rambam, Koha Yachala Hatzil Be'ever Me'evarav. He could have immobilized the Rodeif. V'lo Tark B'kach. He doesn't want to get involved in this kind of, you know, measured response. He kills the Rodeif. V'hargo. Harei Zeshevek Domim. He killed the guy for no reason. He should have immobilized him. V'chayev Misa, aval ein beizim ha-misin oso. He's chayev Misa, it's the wrong thing to do, but beizim cannot kill him. Why can't beizim kill him? Says the tour of here, ois tes, eini yodea. Kevin shechayev Misa, lama ein beizim ha-misin oso. Since he's chayev Misa, why can't beizim kill him? He killed the guy gratuitously. There was no need to do this. He could have immobilized the Rodeif, instead he kills him. Says the Rambam, you did the wrong thing, but Beizin can't administer capital punishment for that. You're not a classical murderer. Why not? Why not? If you gave an overhand, you know, heavy-handed response to the road there, if you could have immobilized him, why'd you kill him? So Torah says, well, we should kill the guy. You're a murderer no different than any other murderer. So the Brisker Rav explains in his Sefer on the Rambam, over here, Oyis Yud Aleph, must be, because according to the Rambam, again, there's two dinim of Rodeif. There's one halach of a roideif that we have to do that which we can in order to save the nirdaf. And it's only in that context we apply the rule, yachol ha'atziro be'echem e'varav, if you can immobilize him or have some sort of smaller response, then you should do that. Why would you kill the roideif? You don't have to do it. But then there's another halach by the roideif. If you're running, if a person is running after someone else to kill him, and he's running after kill him directly, but they're a grumma, you're not a murderer, so we can't kill you. You don't incur the onesh mis of a roideif. Just we'll do that which we can to stop you from hurting, you know, someone else. But if you're a roideif biyadayim, you're running after kill somebody directly, says the Brisker Rav, then there's a chiyu misa on this individual, which would apply to kimwe b'derabamine, even if we can no longer save the nirdaf. That's what the Rashba told us. Even though we can only save the nears, we can't save this poor Evan. This guy is still a Rodeif Chayev Misa. Immediately. So too says the Brisker Rav, even if a third party interceded, and he could have immobilized the guy, he could have been a Yachatziyah Bechamevar, but instead he killed him. He's not Chayev Misa. Why not? Because this Rodeif, not only is there a halacha that we have to do that which we can to immobilize him, Matol Seinirdov, he's a Chiyuv Misa that applies to the Rodeif too. Chiyuv Misa. And therefore, if someone else kills him, it's not unwarranted. Because it's the wrong thing to do. And the Rambam says, Chayav Misa for doing it, but ain't based on my Misa. No, so you're not a murderer. Because this Rodeif, even though, aside from the halacha, we have to mobilize him to save the Nirdaf, he's Chayav Misa by definition of the fact that he was running after someone else directly to kill him. Yeah, two halachas by the Rodeif. That's what this Rashba teaches us. One halacha, Hatzolos HaNirdaf. That's not the only halacha of a Rodeif. Even if we can no longer save this poor Evan who's tied up. The Rajba says we already apply Kimwe with the Ramine, because on the road there's a Chiyuv Misa that applies as well. Okay, famous Rajba. But in the end, I think that we'll try and have things wrapped up by next Monday, because that before reading week. I don't like reading week, is people need reading week to prepare for finals. So maybe we'll start Chazara tomorrow. Yeah? All right. Well, we have to do something Yom HaTzmut. We'll have a shiur, I don't know, about Eretz Yisrael Yom HaTzmut. But a partial shiur, of course. Okay, shiur.